Before I proceed this morning, I want to make this announcement. We have the sermon script at the back. If you choose to go with the script as I preach, as we engage each other this morning, you are more than welcome. Otherwise, stay with me. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the many blessings. Thank you for life. And thank you for everything. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. For the past several Sundays, the church has been following Pastor Ok Yeung in a series of sermon questions Jesus asked. What are you looking for? What is your name? Do you see this woman? Do you want to get well? Where is your faith? Who do you say that I am? Why are you crying? That was last week. And today, we will look at, do you love me? And the instruction that followed, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, take care of my sheep, and feed my sheep. Three times Jesus asked Peter this question, do you love me? And three times he told him what to do if he truly loves him. Some commentators say that the three times were meant to remind Peter about the three times he denied having anything to do with Jesus. I don't know him. Others say it was meant to show the importance of what Jesus wanted Peter to be and do. No matter what the intentions were, this very event, this very day, became a critical moment in the life of the church. It was a charge to Peter. But again, remember, Jesus said to Peter, you are Peter, and Peter means a rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church, and the powers of hell shall not conquer it. So this morning, as we go about finding answers to why Jesus asked Peter three times, Simon, son of John, do you love me? I want to suggest that the work of the church is to awaken people to God's presence and activities in their lives and in all creation. God, as I personally know, is constantly inspiring us as a church with the vision of what we can be in the light of our personal experience and communal context. But first, let us look at the text before us this morning. The setting is the shore of the Sea of Galilee. When Jesus was having breakfast with his disciples soon after his resurrection and appearance. Like many spiritual leaders do, Jesus used the meal table to encourage Peter about the responsibilities ahead of him and probably to tell him what will happen to him during the course of his work. Jesus started with a question. Peter, son of John, do you love me? Peter answered affirmatively. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus then followed with the same question again and gave instruction as to what to do if Peter truly loves his master. If Peter truly loves his master, he is to care and tend to the people who belong to Christ. Feed my lamb, tend my sheep, and feed my sheep. Although addressed to Peter, the specific instructions and context was for those people in Jerusalem who will be responsible for spreading the gospel and good news of Jesus Christ after he ascends and disappears from them. But whether the threefold questions were meant to remind Peter of the three times he denied having anything to do with Jesus, the fact remains that Jesus impressed on Peter in that moment how important his new role of tending to the people of Christ would be. It is common sense that whenever you hear someone, especially your superior or your boss or your leader, repeatedly say something to you, you probably understand that this is extremely important. When I show up at Campbell United Methodist Church, in the days of Pastors Emeritus, Dick and Bobby Carson, Pastor Carson repeatedly instructed me. He encouraged me to go to the Pacific School of Religion in Berkeley to earn my Master's in Divinity degree, which is a requirement for active connectional elder in the California Nevada Conference. He did everything to get me into that institution. But then, he disappeared from me. 6 months later, he retired, by the way. I said, what? This is not going to work for me. However, I kept to the plan, laying one of the foundations for what became a vital and vibrant African ministry at Campbell United Methodist Church. Like many spiritual leaders before him, Jesus wanted to make sure Peter understood this vital charge. Jesus was trying to make sure that Peter really understand what his responsibilities would be and how important it is for him to stick to the plan. Jesus was taxing Peter with leading God's people and God's church. Jesus was making it clear that Peter would be the one to follow his full step and glorify God. Do you love me? Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, and feed my sheep. It is interesting that two Greek words are used in this text. One is agape, and the other is philia. Jesus used agape in the first two questions, do you love me? While Peter answered in the affirmative by using philia, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus then moved and used philia the third time, and Peter answered again, like someone getting very angry because of the repeated question. Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Again, he used philia. Agape is unconditional love. It is the intense devotion and complete sacrificial love. Philia, on the other hand, is a type of brotherly love, sisterly love, or friendly love. It could refer, again, to a kind of intimate relationship with someone. In this text, Jesus was stretching Peter to move from the position of philia, which is the kind of brotherly or friendly love, to agape, which is the unconditional love, the intense, complete devotion and sacrificial love. Peter, do you love me unconditionally? Take care of my sheep. Take care of my people. Brothers and sisters, this question applies to the church today. Do we love Jesus? The mandate to build the church was given by Jesus to Peter and other disciples. Centuries and generations have passed from Peter and the disciples of Jesus Christ to us today. This responsibility has been handed down from centuries, from generations to generations. But the same question remains to be answered by every generation. Do we love Jesus? Does the church love Jesus today? Do you love Jesus? Do I? If the church loves Jesus, then the church is to awaken people to God's presence and activities in their lives and in all creation. One of the primary roles of the church is to proclaim alternative visions and introduce novel possibilities that transform the world. The church is indeed the body of Christ. And if the church loves Jesus, it is to embrace novelty, whether spiritual, scientific, cultural, in the light of creative wisdom of tradition and the ongoing life-changing presence of Jesus Christ. Faithfulness, my brothers and sisters, to God requires the church to affirm and critically embrace the dynamic interdependence of life in all its forms. The church we serve today is a reflection of God's universal aim at creative transformation that celebrates and shares God's visions of healing and shalom and peace. From the Sermon on the Mount to this very charge to love, to feed, and tend to God's children, the church we serve today is intended to be a light in the world, revealing God's presence and inviting people to share in God's personal and planetary mission. The Bible we read today is the primary source of our faith and the church. No qualms, no dispute about that. However, if we read the Bible as it is written without the context of the reader or readers, we tend to be literalists. Bruce Epley is a professor of process theology at the Claremont School of Theology, one of my professors. Yeah. And Claremont School of Theology is one of the notable United Methodist theological schools that educates spiritual and other world leaders. In his book, Process Theology, A Guide for the Perplex, it contends that the Bible remains and can still transform our lives when it is viewed an adventure book. The Bible transforms people's lives today when it is seen as an invitation for contemporary people to become part of God's ongoing holy adventure, moving through their lives and communities. And in a time of constant change and uncertainties, the scripture narrative of liberation, joining, healing, and justice seeking call us to an innovative and imaginative faith. As I reflect on this narrative, I see that the church cannot escape responsibility for our fellow Christians and the broader human community, or the planet for that matter. If we want to love Jesus, we have to look at the broader picture of God's mission. Our faithfulness to God aims at embracing beauty and enhancing wholeness. The church is called to add beauty to the world by its message and mission. If the church is to succeed in its mission of reaching out to all people, irrespective of who they are or where they come from, if the church is to be grounded in the affirmation of God as the intimate and ongoing source of loving relatedness, then passages and rules that encourage genocide, racism, slavery, sexism, heterosexism, and anti-Judaism must be challenged. It is my fervent belief that the world we live in today, can be changed. People can gain equality, and injustice can be overturned. And again, our environment, too, can be healed. Loving Jesus and looking forward to the future does not guarantee that justice will roll down like waters or the church will ever survive. The uncertainties shadow the horizon. But despite these uncertainties, brothers and sisters, God is constantly inspiring and challenging us with new possibilities and ways of partnering in healing wounds of hate, sexism, religious extremism, racism, and transforming lives for God's planetary mission. God's vision of beauty, truth, and goodness is always around us. It is. Mother Teresa, in blessed memory, she shows us how this works. Born in Macedonia to parents of Albanian descent and known in the Roman Catholic Church as Saint Teresa, she devoted her life to caring for the sick, the poor. She supported the construction of hospitals and orphanages for poor people in Africa, Asia, and around the world. In one of her documentaries I listened to a long time ago, she stated, "By faith, I am a Catholic nun. As to my calling, I belong to the world. And for my heart, entirely belong to Jesus Christ." Our church, Campbell United Methodist Church, is no stranger to such services that demonstrate love for Jesus in our campus and beyond. We look at the youth and young adults for their Sarah Service project. We look at the Envision, formerly Envision, now we have our Lives Moves by some of our church members. We look at the Rosemary School we support. We look at the AMDCF we support. And we look at the shoe and clothing project we sent to Africa, to Sierra Leone. These are all services to the vulnerable people, to people who need it, and people who can use our service. That's loving Jesus. People create beauty and love in these services they provide at Campbell United Methodist Church. Brothers and sisters, we do not have to travel far away to holy lands, to confined places of holy cities. God is here in our midst, in this place, and God is with us now. And God is sharing with us the unconditional presence and love. Do you love Jesus? Amen.